Jeremiah chapter 18. Look at verse number 1. The word of which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words." Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation, and concerning a kingdom, to pluck up, and to pull down, and to destroy it. If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. And at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it, if it do evil in my sight that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. Now therefore go to, speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, Thus saith the Lord, behold, I frame evil against you, and devise a device against you. Return ye now every one from his evil way, and make your ways and your doings good. And they said, There is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices, and we will every one do the imagination of his evil heart. Therefore thus saith the Lord, Ask ye now among the heathen, who hath heard such things? The virgin of Israel hath done a very horrible thing. Let's pray this morning. Father, I pray that you just help us this morning. Lord, I pray that you'd guide my thoughts, guide my words. Lord, help me just be a blessing to the folks here this morning as we look at several things, but primarily one thought out of this portion of Scripture. And Lord, I pray that you would just help us as we continue to just go day by day and just try to serve you. And I pray, Lord, that we wouldn't lose sight of what you would have for us to do. Lord, I pray for all the Sunday school classes that will be going on today. Help the pastor as he preaches later, and I pray that you just help us be attentive listeners. Thank you for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen. We have here, and we may preach or teach a couple times out of Jeremiah chapter 18, but we have the story here of the potter, and Jeremiah goes down to the potter's house, and he watches the potter and on make a vessel, and we may talk about that, but there's one verse here down later that I want to particularly look at this morning. But then verse number 7, this is very interesting. This is what I would consider one of God's universal laws, one of God's universal statutes, if you would. But at verse number 7, it says, At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it. So God says, okay, if there's ever a time that I say I'm going to destroy this nation, verse number 8, if that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. Now this is kind of interesting because this doesn't talk about necessarily just the nation of Israel. This says if the nation. So, and we see that, remember the book of Jonah, we saw that in the city of Nineveh, that God said, oh, hey, I'm going to destroy this city. And then the people repented, and God honored his word right here. He said, okay, you repented, and I will give you reprieve. I won't do this. And so I believe that's one of God's universal things. You know, some people say, there's no hope left for America. Well, there is if we'll just do what God told us to, okay? Now, at the present state, you know, if somebody's just bound and determined to walk off a cliff, I mean, they're going to have the consequences of a hard stop at the end of it, okay? So there's just some universal things, and I don't, maybe I'm really simple-minded, but, you know, if God says, I'll do this, you know, and we have evidence in the Bible that he did do that for people. So, but look at verse number 9. And at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it, if it do evil in my sight that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. There's the mere opposite of it. So if a nation says, if God says, all right, I'm going to bless this nation, and then the nation goes and commits idolatry, basically, or adultery against God, God says, okay, I'll destroy you. I'm not gonna give you my blessing. So we have that. And, you know, folks, I know this talks about a nation, but I think it's true about individuals also. You know, if God says, hey, I'm going to destroy them, and that person says, I'm sorry for this. And truly, I was interesting. I was at a conference at the beginning of this week. You know, 1 John 1:9, the Bible, we always quote that. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And Christians use that as a cop-out. Well, if I'm just going to go sin, and then I'm going to confess my sin, and God's going to forgive it. Okay, he'll forgive it, but we don't finish that verse so many times. The Bible says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know what that means? That means we get rid of it. It doesn't. That's what repentance is. Repentance isn't just a, oh, I'm sorry, and then because you get caught. That's not repentance. Repentance, godly sorrow work with repentance, okay? So repentance is going and saying, okay, I'm sorry, and I'm not going to do this anymore, and actually turning away from it. And so but I think it's true in the life of Christians too. You know, if we do what we're supposed to do, God says he'll bless us. If we don't, God's not going to bless us, all right? And it's just, I don't know, it's kind of simple. And I'm not saying, remember, well, we talked a few weeks ago, it's not saying that God doesn't, you know, God doesn't allow us to go through some stuff. But, you know, there's a difference between God allowing us to go through some trials and then God, you know, sending a fire that consumes into our lives. So we see that. But the one verse I want to look at is verse number 12. Verse number 12. And it's a really simple thought. And I guess maybe the reason I use this is because I've already had this thought in my mind for the last 2 weeks or so. But verse number 12, Bible says, "And they said, there is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices, and we will everyone do the imagination of his evil heart." So God says, all right, I'm going to judge you because you're not doing what you're supposed to do. And then the people just throw up their hands and say, oh, there's no hope. There's no hope. And I want to talk about that this morning, hope. And maybe I'm kind of pulling this, and I am, I'm pulling this verse kind of out, and we're going to look at it specifically. But hope is talked a lot about in the Bible. It really is. You know, the verse for our church is looking for that blessed hope. And you know what hope is? Hope is not something that you wish for. There's a difference. Hope is not something that you dream about, okay? Although I think hope and dream is probably of the two could be the closest things, but hope is not something that you necessarily dream about. You know, I could wish for something, but that doesn't necessarily mean it will ever come to pass. Hope, if you look the word hope up, hope is basically a desire with at least a small part of it realistically being fulfilled. Okay. Now, I can wish that I could be president, but that doesn't mean that I will ever be president. Does that make sense? But I can hope that I can be a good husband. But that, you know, it doesn't mean that I am a good husband, but it means that I hope that I can be a good husband, and I hope that, and I hope I'm striving for something, I'm looking for something, and it has a realistic, I mean, there is a realistic possibility, you know, I could wish I could be a millionaire, but it's not going to happen. So that's a wish. Does that make sense? But I hope I can be a good steward of the money that God gives me. Okay? So hope is something that it's got a realistic possibility, if you would. You know, we look for that blessed hope. Does any of us know for sure that hope exists? No, we've never experienced it. But we have a realistic, there's something in our hearts that says, that's true. That's going to happen. So we look for that blessed hope, all right? Doesn't say we saw that blessed hope, does it? No. We look for that blessed hope. So it's something that we hope in. And I want to challenge you. I think there's times in life that we're kind of like the people here in the book of Jeremiah. We say, oh, there's no hope. There's no hope. Sometimes I think we look at, you know, and I don't know, obviously I'm not your age, so I don't know what things go through your mind. But when you're young, you've got a lot of dreams. You've got a lot of things that you look forward to. You know, you've got kids that, you know, I hope my kids grow up to serve God. I do. I hope my kids grow up. Now, is there any guarantee that they will? No. But I believe that if I live my life right and I keep them under the authority that God has put in their life, and I believe that if I keep them in church, I have a realistic expectation that they will turn out to serve God. Now, do they have a choice? You know, everybody has a choice. Everybody has a choice. They have a choice. We can give them every advantage in the world, but they have to make a choice to eventually do that. But I believe if I train up a child in the way he should go, when he is old, he will not depart from it. I mean, that's what the Bible says. Now, like I said, everybody's got a choice, and I understand that. But it's a hope that I have, a hope that my children will turn out right. Now, you know, sometimes hopes are disappointed. Sometimes you don't always get what you hope for. There's a lot of parents in here that you have hoped that something would have happened different with your kids than what has happened. Maybe it hasn't happened. And it may not happen in my life. I'm at the bottom end of this whole, you know, I got a 5-year-old, a 3-year-old, and a 1-year-old. I mean, I can pretty much make them do whatever I want to at this point. Okay? So, you know, my hope is a little more realistic for them at this point. But I'm afraid sometimes we get to the place where like, oh my goodness, there's no hope. There's no hope. But I want to challenge you this morning. You know, when you stop hoping, you start dying. When you stop hoping, you start dying. You know, there's a verse in the book of Proverbs that talks about hope. And you know what it says? It says a living dog's better than a dead lion. It's an interesting verse. But you know what I'm basically saying? It's like you stop hoping for something, you're going to start dying. So I want to challenge you this morning. Hey, if you've lost some hope in some areas, go back and re-get that hope back. Don't give up. Don't give up. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 13. I want to show you this verse. Proverbs chapter 13. We're not going to be able to look at all the instances in the Bible where it talks about hope. There's just too many of them. But it's an interesting study. You should go look at it sometime. Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs chapter 13, verse number 12. The Bible says, "Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. But when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life." You know what that means? You know what the word defer means? In fact, I've altered my vocabulary in life ever since I learned what the word defer means. Defer means basically to carry a little longer or to put off till later. So I no longer procrastinate in life. I defer. I don't procrastinate. I'm not a procrastinator. I practice deferment. So it just sounds, I don't know, it sounds better, sounds more spiritual or something. But so I don't procrastinate. I just defer. But you know what that is? It doesn't say, defer doesn't mean that I'm going to throw this away. Defer, the Bible says, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. Everybody in here, and I guarantee everybody in here, you've hoped for something that has not come true. Maybe you hoped your children would do something that, you know, they didn't do. Or you hoped, you know, hope can be a lot of things. Hope can be, you know, maybe as a business decision. You hoped that this business transaction would go through and it didn't go through. I mean, hope can go a lot of different directions. And, you know, hope deferred, basically hope that doesn't get satisfied at that moment, makes your heart sick. You know how your heart feels? It's just like, oh, can't believe this. After all I've put into that person, or after all that I've done for this person, they've just threw it all away. All that I hoped that God would use them for, they just threw it away. And it makes your heart sick. It does. It makes your heart sick. You got to be careful. And folks, let me just challenge you. Be careful when your heart is sick. And I preached some of this in chapel not too long ago, but you know what happens when you're sick? You don't want people to be around you. You get really, be careful when your heart's sick. Let me just throw that, a broken spirit, the Bible says, who can bear a broken spirit? So you got to be very careful. So when your hope is deferred, you know what that means? It doesn't mean, okay, I'm carrying this hope with me, but because it didn't come to pass, I'm going to throw this hope away. No. it says, I'm just going to have to carry it a little bit longer. I'm going to have to hope for them. You know, one thing Pastor Jerry said that has always stuck with me, and if I could be something for the young people here at church, it would be probably this in a way. But he said this, and it kind of stuck with me. He said, I dream for you. He said, I have a dream for you when you don't have a dream for yourself. I thought, man, that's good. And it meant a lot to me. Because, you know, as a young person, sometimes I'm in a, I don't know how to say this, a spiritual, backslidden condition, I guess. And you don't see anything. You don't see, all you see is, you know, what's right in front of your face. And so sometimes you got to have somebody, you know, you all had dreams for your kids that your kids didn't have for themselves. Now, eventually, hopefully your kids got that dream too. But to start with, you have a dream for your kids that your kids don't have for themselves. You have something you want your kids to do that your kids may have not really wanted to do for themselves. You know, very simply, you know, your kids don't want to practice character. Character is not a naturally born trait that God gives us. Character is developed. So, you know, it's not that your kids, you want your kids to be hard workers, but your kids honestly do not want to be a hard worker. They just want to lay around and do nothing. Okay? So that's a hope. I pray every night when we pray for our kids, Lord, please help Micah to be a hard worker. Help him be honest. Help him to stand for what's right. That's my hope for him. Okay? Now, you know, I hope that one day that becomes his desire too. That he wants to be a hard worker. He wants to serve God. And then so my hope at that point is fulfilled. The Bible says in 1 John, I have no greater desire than to hear that my children walk in truth. Proverbs chapter 13, verse number 12. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is what? A tree of life. You know, there's nothing better than having your hopes, what you want, having it fulfilled. That's amazing. Now, I have not experienced it in a large way, but, you know, when I was growing up, I hoped I would be happily married. You know, man, I've got the best wife in the world. I don't know even why she married me, honestly. It was for my truck, I think. Honestly, no, I'm kidding. No, but I do. I have a great wife. You know, so it was something I hoped for, and when the desire accomplished is a tree of life. It gives you a new thing. But you know what, folks, and I'm coming back to this. In Jeremiah, you know what the people said? There is no hope. God said he's gonna judge us, and there's nothing that we can do about it. There's no hope. Well, I want to challenge you this morning. Hey, don't quit hoping. Don't quit hoping. Because when you quit hoping, you know, you have to keep, there's several principles here, and I don't have time to, I hope you get my heart this morning, but when you quit hoping, you quit living for something. And you know why? Okay, there's some illnesses that when people get, and I understand that they are maybe a terminal illness, but it amazes me, and there may be somebody, and I'm just trying to convey what I see this morning. You know, it's funny when somebody finds out that they have cancer. Listen, when somebody finds out that they have cancer, it's almost from the point that they find out, they get instantly worse. And I think some of it, Brother Chad, are you a science? Do you think that your mind can heal you? No. But I think your mind can make you a lot sicker. Okay? Some people, when they find out they've got a terminal illness, they lose all hope. And when they lose all hope, they have nothing left to live for. And I want to challenge you this morning. Hey, what are you hoping for? You say, Brother Chad, my kids are grown. There's really nothing. I can't serve God in the church the way I used to. Well, you need to find something that you're still hope for. Hey, even if it's, remember what Pastor Jerry told me, even if it's hoping for somebody that has no hope for themselves, it still gives you a purpose. It still gives you something to live for. Even, you know, some of these young people, they're lost. They, in the world, they're hopeless. What if you went and said, hey, you can do this with your life? Hey, you know what, folks? Your kids aren't past. I know a lot of people, and I don't know everybody in here good, but your kids aren't past giving up on. Amen. There's still hope for them. But if you stop hoping for them, if they don't have hope for themselves, if somebody stops hoping for them, where's the hope left? I just want to challenge you this morning. Sometimes I think this age group, you're like, oh my goodness, I've worked a job my whole life, and I've had the good things of life, and you're kind of like Solomon at the end of his life. This was a big waste of God's breath. No, it's not. As long as you still have something to hope for, if nothing else, we're looking for that blessed hope. You know, the church, it can use a lot of people that hope for it. The young people of the church can use some people that hope for them. So I just want to challenge you this morning. Don't give up hope. You know, hope is something that you don't see. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter number 8. We always use, Romans 8:28. That's the verse everybody goes to in Romans chapter 8. But Romans chapter 8 has a lot of stuff in it. Romans chapter 8, verse 24. Bible says, "For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for?" Very simple. "But we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." Wait for it. So, Brother Chad, I've lost hope. No, you just need to wait for it a little bit longer. I've lost all hope. No, just wait for it. Defer. Carry it. Bear it just a little bit longer. Okay? I can't do that. Okay, if you can't do that, you've lost all hope and you're about ready to die. Physically, no, not necessarily, but your spirit's about ready to die. And you got to be very careful about that. We saw that in verse 24, verse 25. Look at verse number 26. "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." I just want to challenge you this morning. You say, "Brother Chad, I've lost hope," or I've lost sight of that hope. Maybe I still, somewhere inside, I still carry it. You know, I've got a child that's not saved. Well, that's something I don't know that you could ever not carry. I've got a child that's completely away from God. And I don't know why I'm using children. I guess maybe because everybody in here probably has some, and you've all had hopes for your kids. But it can go to a lot of different areas. But the Bible says the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, will help you when you can't. The Bible says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth, because we don't even know what we should pray for. God, I don't even know what I should pray for right now. And the Holy Spirit will help you with that. So trust Him for that. Romans chapter 5. Flip over just a few pages. Verse number 1, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." You know, sometimes all the junk in life comes and you're like, oh my goodness, I cannot make it another step through this trial or through this situation I'm going through, or watch my kids go this direction. That's not true. You can. But if you lose sight of your hope, You have nothing else to wait for. You have nothing else to strive for. I don't know how to get this in a... Okay, I'm going to use a really carnal illustration here. Is that okay? All right. I like deer hunting. All right. You knew it was coming. Something about deer hunting or work. I like deer hunting, okay? Do you know the reason I sit out in a tree stand when it's 20 degrees and freeze to death for 3 or 4 hours? Hope. I hope. I hope a deer comes by. But you know what? My hope pushes me to an action. My hope makes me sit when my toes 5 hours ago told me I needed to go inside and warm them up. You know what makes me sit out there is hope. Hope. And you know what most of the time happens? My hope is deferred. I just have to carry it a little bit longer. But you know, there's nothing like being sitting there. And maybe I'm an adrenaline junkie, I don't know. But there's nothing like sitting there. You're froze to death. You really wanted to go in 2 hours ago. And you're sitting there, and all of a sudden you hear that. There's an unmistakable noise that a deer makes when he's walking through. I mean, I don't even, you know, the first time I'm out in the woods, I turn and look at everything because it takes my ears a little bit to adjust to the different noises the animals make. But deer have a very distinct sound when they're walking through the woods. And you hear that sound coming, and your heart just starts beating faster. And then you look up, and it's never really happened to me. I've shot some decent bucks, but nothing huge. But, I mean, you look up and there's a nice buck, you know, 12 yards broadside. And you shoot that thing. And you know what that is? It's a tree of life. I know it's kind of silly, but you know what? In a very simple sense, that's what hope is. Hope is something that causes you to keep going even though everything tells you, okay, you need to stop. Hope is having, you know, the years I've shot bigger deer is the years that I have seen a bigger deer before season started. It's something I saw that I couldn't attain yet because season wasn't in. But because I saw that, I didn't shoot the little four-pointer that came under the tree because I was waiting for something that I knew was better. Now, maybe it never came by. And you know what? That's hope deferred. But when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. So I just want to challenge you. You know, sometimes you're in that tree stand of life and you're about froze to death. I know that's a really stupid illustration, but I just want to challenge you. Hey, hold on. Just, you know, it may not come right now. It may not come right now. But if you just give up, listen to me. If you give up and go sit by the stove and you give up hope, I guarantee you, you will never shoot that deer. Never. Ever, ever. It's sticking with the stuff and it's saying, okay, 30 more minutes. 30 more minutes. Have you given up on your knees, you know, when that trial or that tribulation initially came into your life? You know, you were down on your knees and you prayed and you prayed and you prayed and you prayed and you prayed, and it just didn't seem like, you know, like heaven was brass and everything was just, God didn't hear you and God, this is, you know, and it just seemed like it just went the way it was going to go. Have you gone back inside? Or are you going to wait just 30 more minutes? You know, the Bible says Spirit also helpeth our... He'll pray for you when you can't pray for yourself. So don't give up hope. Don't give up hope. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And I can look at a lot of things. You know, we can hope in His Word. Go to Psalms chapter 119. Not right now. You can go there sometime. Go to 1 Corinthians 13. That's where I want you to go at the moment. 1 Corinthians 13. I'm going to say two statements here about hope. Number one, be patient for the hope. be patient for the hope. But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Be patient for the hope. Okay? Number two, be prepared for the hope. Be prepared for the hope. You know, when I go out in the woods in my deer stand, I am prepared. I'm prepared for when that deer comes by. I've already practiced. I know when I put that pin on that deer and I pull that trigger on that release, I know that that arrow will hit where that pin was. I'm prepared. So don't, you know, part of the thing about keeping your hope is staying prepared. Staying prepared. Be patient for the hope. Be prepared for the hope. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 7. Verse number 4. Let's go to verse 4. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. I thought of this statement this morning. Love is best expressed when it is neither reciprocated or deserved. Love is best expressed when it is neither reciprocated or deserved. You know, sometimes the only way that you can show love and truly show love is when somebody doesn't deserve it and when somebody doesn't give you love back. But you know what love does? Love says, hey, you may not love me. You may not even deserve my love, but I love you and I still hope the best for you. And I still have a dream for you. So, you know, keep that hope. I guess if anything, I just want to challenge you, keep that hope. Whatever it is in your life. How do you get back the hope? Brother Chad, I've lost it. How do you get back the hope? How do you get back the dream that you have? Here's the first thing, I think. Go back to where you were when you had hope. See, Brother Chad, I had hope, and then I lost the hope. Well, I'm going to challenge you. Go back to where you were when you had hope. Okay? You know, sometimes when I'd be deer hunting, I'd have a picture off maybe like a trail camera of a really nice deer. And then you go for days and days and days. You spend hours and hours and hours, and you don't see the deer. You know why? Sometimes you go back and then you look at that picture again. Or you go back to your trail camera, and there's another picture of the deer. It's like, oh, man, he's still out there. It's still a possibility. So I know that's, there again, a very carnal illustration, but go back to the dream that you had. Go back to where you were when you had that dream. Redo the things that brought you true joy. Redo it. Say, Brother Chad, I've lost my hope. I've lost the things that I've really hoped for. And, you know, Psalms chapter 146, verse 5, the Bible says happiness comes from hope. You know, most miserable people are people that have no hope. They have no hope. They're miserable because they don't have nothing to live for. They don't have anything to live for. They've lost all hope. Even if sometimes your hope is deferred, when your hope does come past, it's a tree of life, and that brings true happiness. So redo the things that brought you true joy, the songs that you listened to, the Bible that you read. Like I said, Psalms 119, a lot of verses in there about hoping in God's word. When all else fails, trust authority to guide you towards hope. To guide you towards hope. Now I know this is actually a point from chapel, but this is true for us too. You know, sometimes we get so confused and so in the mix of chaotic life that we lose sight of what we dreamed about. We lose sight of what we dreamed for our kids or what you dreamed for your family or whatever it could be, and or even your nation. You know, we get so caught up in everything in our nation that we forget about, hey, there's still hope. There's still hope. But not if you quit. That's probably one of the biggest things is you got to keep hoping. You can't leave your tree stand and go inside and still hope that you're going to kill something. You got to stay prepared. You got to keep doing things. you know what? Is there hope for our nation? As long as Christians keep hope. But when we lose hope, well, there's no, you know, okay. If we lose hope for America, you know what? Why should I go out soul winning anymore? Why should I run? Why should I come to church? If there's no hope, but I still have hope. So I still come to church. Even when I didn't feel like coming to church this morning. Okay? I didn't. I've been sick the last 3 days. All right? Not contagious sick, just sick. I didn't feel like coming to church this morning. But I hope that maybe one of the kids we picked up on the bus this morning, maybe something said today. You know, there's things I hope for, so I keep doing what I'm supposed to do. Brother Chad, why? I'm just my life's a wreck. I'm just giving up. When you give up, you give up. You know, this old statement. You know, never put an old horse to pasture. I think something like that. You know, it's funny when somebody quits working and quits having something to live for. Or you see it often when a spouse dies. Why is sometimes shortly thereafter the other spouse dies? Because they've given up. What's there to live for? What's there to hope in? So I just want to challenge you, don't give up the hope. Keep that hope. When you're freezing to death in your life of hope, don't go inside, just keep plugging along. Don't be like they were in the book of Jeremiah. They said, and honestly, people, Brother Chad, what's the difference between Christianity and the world? I think it honestly could be summed up in one word. Hope. Hope. What's the difference of a Christian's funeral and a lost person's funeral? We have hope that they don't have. Amen. Brother Chad, why does a Christian give 10% plus of his tithe, of his income? There's a lot I could do with 10% that I give to the church, 10% plus. Why do we do that? Because we hope for that we see not. So we just keep plugging along and we keep doing what we're supposed to do. But don't lose that hope. Because when you lose that hope, you're almost dead. Let's pray this morning. Father, thank you for this lesson, this very simple, simple, simple truth. Lord, it's not faith. Hope is not faith. But hope is something that we believe in, Lord, that has a very realistic chance of coming true. And Lord, help us not to give up hope. Lord, even when we're discouraged, even when we can't see what we used to see, Lord, help us to not give it up. Lord, I pray for those in here. Lord, I've personally got a lot of dreams. I've got a lot of things that I hope that you use me for and hope that you allow me to do with my life. But I think sometimes in this age, there's maybe a loss of hope. So, Lord, help us to regain a hope. Help us to find something to hope in. Even if it's a young person that has no hope for themselves, Lord, that we can invest in and hope for, I pray, Lord, that you would just help us to always have something in front of us. Lord, we love you. We thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen.